Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Jen A. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace and mercy. I live here in Colorado. And today is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter titled We Agnostics. We're reading on page 53, that second paragraph. It begins with, when we became alcoholic, through one paragraph ending with, what was our choice to be? Today's readers, Team Wednesday, we have 12 Steps, Sarah G, 12 Traditions, Marge O. Our reader of the text today will be Maura Z. Closing reader will be Tamara Z, and Maura will also back us up. Newcomer reader will be Sima M. Second hour moderator is Ken W. H. Here are the reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. The 7 a.m. Eastern Standard meeting recording is 23,649. That's 23,649. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book meeting recording, it's 23,653. That's 23,653. So let's see, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Here's our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, that is to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Sarah G. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Sarah G. calling from New York. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry these messages to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
I will now ask Marge O. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Marge O. from Walpole, Massachusetts, recovered and grateful. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, 8, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Well, thank you so much to Sarah G. and to Marge O. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature that we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the chapter We Agnostics. We're in the Big Book on page number 53, paragraph number 2. And I'm now going to ask Maura Z to begin reading. Thanks, Maura.
Thanks, Jen. Good morning. Maura Z, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. When we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? That's a big choice. That's a big choice. Self-imposed crisis. That's my character defects acting out. That's me as a compulsive overeater running amok. That's me facing life with very little skill. We could not postpone or evade. It's ultimately, it's just going to happen. There's nothing I can do to avoid it. Fearlessly face the proposition. I have to now trust that there is a power greater than me. I now have to believe in that power if I'm going to recover. So I have a choice to make here. Is God real or is he not? Is he everything or is he nothing? I chose and I choose on a daily basis, one day at a time, to believe that there is a God, there is a higher power in my life working. I know this because of the evidence around me. First of all, I'm abstinent, and I've been so for 11 months now. Coming off of a 2-year relapse that was absolute horrific, this is a miracle. And miracles happen by higher powers. I didn't get abstinent on my own. That was obvious. My life is now turning around. and has turned around in very many areas. I don't live in fear. I don't live with resentments. They do come up. I don't mean to imply that I don't have them, but I have a step 10 tool that I can use, not a tool, but step 10 process that I can use to help me rid myself of the resentments and the fears so that I can live in peace one day at a time. Again, that's by God's grace. What was my choice to be? I choose to believe there's a higher power. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Mauro Z, for getting us started this morning. And we do value everyone's experiences on the line. We ask that you do limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'll be taking a list of names, your first name and the first initial of your last name. Who would like to share on what was read today? Go right ahead.
Barbara W. from New Jersey.
Rachel K.
Melissa C.
Rachel K.
Rick J.
Okay,
Jennifer
C.
Vasa O.
Abby D. Okay. Let me tell you who I heard. Okay. All right, party paragraph today, people. I got Barbara, I got Rachel in there, Janice, Harlan, Rivka, Joe M, I think, and Abby. Is there anyone that I missed in that lineup?
Jennifer
K.
C.
Ricky. Rick
Laura
J.
Gail.
Melissa C.
Rick.
Vasa O.
Let's stop
Jennifer
there.
C.
And Jennifer. Okay, let's see. We're like halfway through the second hour now. All right, this is going to be fun. Fun morning. Here we go. So I also heard Gail, Rick, Melissa, Vasa, and Jennifer C. that I added to the end of that list. So if you'll give me the first initial of your last name when you get up to pitch, and then also the state that you're calling from, that way others can find you on the list in case they'd like to reach out to you. All right, so Barbara, would you like to go? Go right ahead. Barbara, I think you got remuted. If you just unmute, that would be great. Press star one.
I'm Barbara W., and I'm from New Jersey. And I am grateful to be in this program because I know there's no other way for me. I'm 71 years old, and I had my ups and downs with OA. And I would go in and stop, but I know that there's no other way for me to live this program. And God is the head of my life, and he's the power. That's my power, greater than myself. I put it that way too, because he's the one that's helping me to realize that this disease is just like AA. It's a disease of sugar and starch, and it's horrible. And it's not always easy, but it's a fight. But God is there to help me. I know that God is the one that got this program of recovery started, and I know that he's the head of it, and he's the head of everything of the university. I know that he is the one that has helped Bill. He's helped him. He's helped everybody in this program. He's helped people that were sick and couldn't get well with food, to help them to be able to live a life. I watch it on YouTube how OA has come a long way. Years, it's more better now in our modern day than it's ever been. It's the best thing that I could ever have in my life is OA in the food plan, the gray sheet, the food plan, where there's so much foods that we can eat now that are out there that will make us happy and comfortable, and we'll get used to eating good food, food that is nourishing, that will fill us up, and we just have to seek it. It's not, I used to couldn't seek the foods, didn't know how to put it together, but God and my sponsor helped me to put my food together and show me what I need to eat. and helping me with my steps. The 12-step reprogram in recovery is the part that's going to heal me and help me to understand this program and learn how to live it day by day and to share it with other people who want it. So I thank you for letting me share today.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started, Barbara W. from New Jersey. Up now, next, we have Rachel. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi, good morning, Jen. This is Rachel K., compulsive overeater from Indiana. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you, I think it was Mara Z., for your opening share, and thank you for talking about the 10-step because it saves me every day. Like a lot of people, as you can tell from all the people who want to speak today, I love, love, love this paragraph. You know, we're told, or I'm told, you know, that all or nothing thinking is bad. You know, I've been told that, you know, that it's not all or nothing, you know, live life in the color, not in the black and white. But there are parts of this program which are all or nothing. Either I am all in or I'm all out. You know, God is everything or God is nothing. To me, you know, I'm a geek. I like numbers, and it is percentages. Either God is 100% or he is 0%. I cannot make, you know, what my boss thinks of me 0.01% and make God 99.99%. It doesn't work that way. God is either 100% or 0%. I can't make, you know, what you guys think of me on this meeting 0.1% and make God 99.9%. Doesn't work that way. If I do that, then God is 0%. He has to be 100%. So whatever it is, you know, whatever my ego, my self-centered fear is, you know, put in front of God, you know, my job, my, you know, romantic relationships, my friendships, whatever it is, you know, my finances. If I make that 1% and try to make God 99%, it's not going to work. It's, you know, then, you know, and God doesn't leave, but then I leave God. Then I am making God 0%, and I am abandoning God. God has to be all, it's all or nothing. If I am not putting God first, then everything else leaves. I heard, or I read something really cool the other day that that my abstinence is very jealous. If I put anything in front of it, it leaves. You know, it says, nope, had enough of that, and it leaves. So, you know, today what I pray is, okay, God, help me make you everything. You know, whenever I am disturbed, help me bring it back to you. Okay, where are you in all of this? You know, because I can, you know, I can pray, I can meditate, I can listen to this meeting or share on this meeting. And then 10 minutes later, I work from home. So 10 minutes later, I walk the several feet to my office and I open an email and I start freaking out because it's something to do with work. And where's God? I have to put God first. I have to bring God into that, into every aspect of my life, 100% of my life, or I get none of it. So anyway, thanks for letting me share and I'll pass.
Did you call me? I'm muting and muting.
Jen, we lost you.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Janice. This is Maura Z.
Can you hear me?
I've lost Jen.
Jen, star one.
Jen, thank you. You can't hear me, huh?
We do now.
Oh, thank you, Harlan. Thank you so much. I'm sorry to keep it going. Okay, this is Jan. I am Janice, PM, and I live in Massachusetts, a recovered compulsive overeater. This is so powerful, this step. I call it the step two choice. Now, we're just coming from step one. So because I knew I was really, really powerless, but it took a little time. I had some problems thinking I just took my power back. All right, if we think we're truly powerless, we need another power more than ever, more than ever. So if we make a conclusion, if we come to a conclusion, okay, that I am a compulsive overeater, and everything I did and acted and managed myself, you know, I did it myself. It was a crisis. We just went through the bedevilments, you know. I can ask myself about these bedevilments if I don't choose to have a God. I can't postpone this because I got no other place to go. I have no other ideas to take. And, you know, and believe you me, I tried. I have no escape. I can't evade it. It's a fact. It really is a fact that with me and others, hopefully, that God is everything or else he's nothing. And, you know, I can remember, and it's hard to say, is I have a God. I had a God in my life. But, you know, I think deep down inside of me, I didn't want to stop eating. I wanted God to, you know, to, like people say, sprinkle me with dust and make me stop and make me want to stop. And that has to come from me. Because I know the conclusion that that's the answer. And I had so many negative ideas about religion. And, of course, this program is all spiritual. And, you know, if you go back and you read, we read it the other day, the bedevilments, I can ask questions for myself. Is could I control my emotional nature? It was always up, down, and around. Of course not. No, I couldn't. I was never comfortable in my own skin. I was restless, irritable, never satisfied. Well, something was wrong, you know, and I tried everything to do it, to use every other way. But these are the facts for me. You know, I could not manage my mental obsession. I couldn't manage my emotions or even control my negative ideas, my mouth, my tongue, you know, so a sarcastic tongue that I had. So there's all kinds of bedevilments that I could not manage by me. I just couldn't do it. So do I need a power greater than myself? Now, a lot of people say, oh, we mentioned God. Well, you know, God is a religious, you know, it can be just religious, a word. But, you know, we have to open our minds. We have to look for new ideas, open it up that it could be a possibility. This is a spiritual program. It's not religious. It's spiritual. You can put any power's name that you want to. So this is where we are in this second step. You know, getting into the second step.
Please.
Very clear. Yes, thank you. I'll wrap up. The choice is very clear. God either is or he isn't. What other choice do I have? And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Janice PM, and thanks everybody for keeping it together while I got disconnected and double muted. Harlan G, you're up next. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Jen, for your service. Jen, I'm outside, so please don't be gentle with your reminder. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in sweaty Scottsdale, Arizona. I have been a compulsive overeater since the moment I was born, and people couldn't fix me, and physicians couldn't fix me, and prosperity couldn't fix me, and pills and passion couldn't fix me. It's a lot of peas. Pizza couldn't fix me either. I'll throw that in too. But the bottom line is that I am extremely uncomfortable in the way I feel when I'm not eating, unless I'm working the steps. The buildup of human emotion, the feelings that I have when I'm not eating, are so uncomfortable that, as Dr. Silkworth says, because we eat for the effect. What is the effect? It is that sense of ease and comfort that comes instantly by eating certain foods. We will pursue it to the gates of insanity or death. I wasn't knocking on death's door. I was trying to kick it in. And the only thing that helped me, as it says on page 43 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. There is no earthly reason why I am a compulsive overeater. And there is no earthly solution. I have to get that in my head. I'm going to say it again. There is no earthly reason why I'm a compulsive overeater. And there is no earthly solution. My defense must come from God. Abstinence is not the most important thing in my life without exception. Abstinence is the entrance ramp to the highway. And once I'm on that broad highway, now I need to seek God. I need to work the steps to have a spiritual awakening as the result of those steps, or I will return to the food. So the most important thing in my life without exception is my relationship with a power greater than myself that I choose to call God. And then on page 45, it says, the main object of this book is to help you find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. If it's the main object of this book, it better be the main object of my life. Abstinence is required, but it is not the end game. The end game is that today I'm out here walking 3 miles. I'm healthy. My blood work is good. I have chronic AFib, yes, but my heart is good as a 72-year-old that weighed 700 pounds can be. My bills are paid. I'm on time for things, and I thank you, Jen, for your service. Love you, and I will sign off with that. Thank you.
Love you, too. Thanks, Harlan. All right, Rivka, you're up next, followed by Joe M. Good morning, Rivka.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Jen, for your service. And, oh, the cheers. That's incredible. This is Rivka R., Gratefully Recovery, Compulsive Overeater in Maryland. Yeah, these lines, I mean, they are the crux of the whole big book to me. Like, either God is everything or else he's nothing. And what's my choice to be? I mean, you can't get more profound and powerful than that. I'm not going to pretend that I really know what that means, but it's a consciousness that I do aspire to, because if I don't, then I do blot God out, and I'm making that he isn't. And it's also a basic tenet of my faith. I mean, God is one, there is no other. I've been saying it 3 times a day for 50 years, but I didn't get it like Bill got it. You know, and how incredible that he could articulate such a fundamental truth so simply. God is or he isn't. What is my choice to be? I mean, how do I even wrap my head around that? Like, I mean, if God is everything, does that mean, like, I'm not real? Like, I seem extremely real to myself. But I think it's talking about, like, the awareness of the reality of what's sustaining me and providing for me and loving me and giving me the power. I mean, we do exist, but this illusion of separateness from God is what's not real. I have a grandson who raises ducks, and as soon as those ducks hear the back door opening, they start quacking like crazy because they know food might be coming, okay? But they have no awareness of how the food got there, how it grew, who made the money to buy it, who transported it. It's just food. I want it, and I want it now. I mean, I certainly can relate to that. But it struck me that humans, you know, we're not just called humans. We're called human beings. I was thinking, why? Like, we don't say giraffe beings or dog beings or duck beings. I mean, animals are wonderful, and they have a life force, but here's the difference. Animals are unaware of their life force. They don't have the capacity for God consciousness. And what makes me uniquely different from an animal is just that, my capacity for God consciousness. And if I don't strive for that consciousness and acknowledge that reality, I mean, where does that leave me? So I'm made up of the human animal part of me, and the being part is God. And God gives me the capacity to recognize the ultimate, infinite source of my being and all being. It's the thing that lifts me above being an animal. even a nice, kind, helpful animal is not that I can drive a car. It's recognition of my creator, you know, the awareness of a loving source. So what does that mean for my recovery? Like, how do I live my life when I accept this truth? First of all, it changes what I focus on. I get to see through the facade and illusion of my thinking, and I get the power of reality. It lets me make the choice, and I believe that I was actually created for this choice. And I went, when I came back about 6 years ago, I would say this out loud all the time. Either God is or he isn't. What is my choice to be? And instantly I would get clarity. And I'm so grateful that this program showed me the right choice to make today. And with that, I pass. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Rivka R. from Maryland. Up next, we have, I believe, Joe M., followed by Abby. Is there a Joe in there that wanted to share this morning?
Could it be Gail M.?
Oh, yeah, Gail, that was you. Thanks for the help. Go right ahead.
Hi, everybody. Gail M. from Jersey. Grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Maura. Thank you, everybody who's doing service. Thank you, everybody, for being on the line. Back 15 days after a 2-year relapse. I've been working on this chapter quite a bit with my sponsor and my homeworks that she gave me. And actually, today we go over it again. Let's see, what's really speaking to me is became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis. You know, the pain definitely got real enough, and I had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or nothing. Well, the pain got real enough, and my choice obviously is, do I want to die in the food in that dark place? Or do I want to continue with the spiritual awakening and God? It's a no-brainer. I'm back. God is in my life. Very grateful. Pass.
Thank you so much, Gail M. Glad you're here. Up next, we have Abby D., followed by Rick J.
Good morning, everyone. This is Abby D. Thanks, Jen. Good to hear you. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic in Michigan, and here with my 5-month-old daughter, who is content if I'm walking around, so I'm now walking around my house. But it's just good to come in and say hi. I haven't spoken on the 7 a.m. in a while, and just wanted to let y'all know I'm still here. I'm still abstinent. This paragraph, God is either everything or God is nothing. What was our choice to be? It's like I have a choice every day whether I want to go towards my old life or if I want to go towards recovery. And you know, I used to get so confused with this, with the sentence, like, God is everything or nothing. I'm like, what does that even mean? But like, God is in everything, like even in difficult times, like God is there. I'm learning something. I can move towards my higher power even when things are challenging and when things are good, like God is there. And just nothing in the world is wasted, and everything that I've been through has brought me to where I am today and has made me who I am today. And and I can be useful and I can share it with somebody else. So what it means to me that like God is everything or God is nothing, it's just like there's a reason for everything and nothing is wasted. So grateful to be here, and with that, I'll pass. And thanks, Jen.
Thanks so much, Abby D. from Michigan. Good to hear you today. All right, so let's take a pause real quick, and I just want to let anybody who jumped on the line halfway through the meeting know where we're at. We're on We Agnostics in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page number 53. We're on that second paragraph. Maura started off this morning and read from when we became alcoholic through what was our choice to be. And so I'll go ahead and have Rick J., Melissa C., Vasa O., and Jennifer C. share, and then I'll grab more names. So, Rick, go right ahead. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, Jen. Good to hear you.
My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. And I was just kind of chuckling to myself. I think you handled the party paragraph better than I would have yesterday if it had been me. But yeah, I love the shares. I honestly don't have a whole lot to add. It's that, you know, that complete powerlessness that sort of triggered my own, need and realization of a need of a power greater than myself. And it's, you know, it's directly proportional. The more powerless that I am, the more power I realize that I need, you know, a power greater that I need. But most importantly, I need to connect to that power. And I need to live my life, a daily life, connected to that power. And I'll never do it perfectly. That's what I need to do. But as a human being, I cannot 100% of the time connect to that power. And if that were the case, I really wouldn't need this program. I wouldn't need you. And, you know, that would be a travesty to not have, you know, this beautiful program, the beautiful people in it, this loving, amazing relationship with the power greater than myself. You know, I sort of think of it as this way, 11-10-7-24-7. You know, and I live in 11 and, you know, and 10 and 7, you know, because I want to connect to that power that's everything. And I want to strengthen that power. So that's my number one, like right now, I mean, that's what I do, is continually strengthen that power. And of course, that's all in 11, but 11 also, you know, it intertwines 10 in there. And so by doing 11, I'm by default doing step 10. And I get to look at the things that, you know, I haven't paused enough over, or, you know, brought into my morning meditation, and then things happen. You know, I mean, things just happen. But my mindset all the time is where I try to be, is connecting to the God of my understanding. And that is, God is everything. And for me, everything. I know that, like, God is a part of me, but I will eject God, you know, with my self-will. You know, I mean, thankfully he didn't leave forever. It's just, all I have to do is invite him back, you know. And I can do that with my step 10s, and, you know, but also, why do we continue to do step 10? You know, it's also that since I'm powerless over the things that I'm acknowledging to another human being, I have to have this power remove it. You know, I can't remove it myself. Another human being cannot remove it. They can listen and acknowledge, but I have to have this God of my understanding remove that. And that's why it's so important, you know, for me to, you know, get to step 7 so I can get God to remove it. Humbly ask. That I pass.
Thanks so much, Rick J. from North Carolina. Up next, we have Melissa C., followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Thanks so much for your service and for, I don't know, hurting all these cats, people that were, like, scrambling to get heard, you know, me being one of them. Thank you so much for hearing me this morning. Such a great paragraph, you know. And I have to say, like, one of the things that just fills me with, like, tremendous joy is that I get to participate every morning with a group of people that are like scrambling and out there, like just wanting to dissect and think about this incredible literature that has, you know, for me been like the step-by-step guide to freedom, guide to my relationship with God. And I love even just our thinking about what does it mean if God is everything. And I'm just really appreciative for hearing all the different voices and the different, you know, perspectives on it. I think, like, when I read this, you know, my first thought is like, what do you mean this is a self-imposed crisis? You know, I'm thinking immediately, or I was thinking immediately, I didn't cause my food addiction, like thinking that's the crisis. But the actual self-imposed crisis is that thinking I can do this job on my own, being at a point where I am admitting complete powerlessness, which means no human resource, no, like, nothing I've tried on my own has worked. I know what I need to do, but I can't put it into application. That's my crisis. You know, if I don't put out my hand and ask God for help, that's I'm imposing this crisis on myself then. So I have to come to a point where I'm either going to say God is everything or else he's nothing. And I have to say, like, for me now at this juncture, when I read paragraphs like this, I think it's the perfect setup. They're getting me ready for step three because I'm already coming to believe. I'm reading this book. I'm in the mix. I'm listening to other fellows. It's already alive inside me. I must believe that there's something that's going to help me that's bigger than me. You know, I might not have a name for it yet, but I know it's got to be something supernatural that cares about me. And when I think about God being everything, it's getting me ready for step three, which means I'm gonna put it all in this power source's hands, this thing that I haven't defined yet. I'm not exactly sure what it is. You know, I'm going to fight it and push against it, and I want a definition, and I want to know it. And then I relax and I say, not important. What's important is that it loves you. It cares about you. You are not it. You're failing utterly. You've got your bedevilments to show for it. Why don't you trust? And every single day when I do that, I reap the benefits like I can't even imagine. I know I'm out of time, but I just want to say quick, when I live in agreement with God's will, I have freedom and peace. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa C. from New Jersey, or from New York. All right, up next is Vasa. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning. Good morning, Jen. Thank you for your service. And thank you, everybody's service this morning. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive reader, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I was so relieved to hear this was a spiritual program. It was not a religious program. Because I had my own religion. I didn't want to be dragged into somebody else's religion. And I'm so grateful that I had, you know, that was a gift from God, that yes, it's a spiritual program. And I know I was powerless over the food, and there was no more places to go or try to do anything. With everything I tried, I was just done. And I love this paragraph. It's just so powerful. Either God is everything or else he's nothing. And I was, you know, again, I was like on the highway, on the road, and came to a fork. And I was working with my sponsor at that time before she brought me to the first meeting for 1 week. And, okay, take a left or you want to go right, the same way as you've been going all this life with the food addiction and everything. And I chose to take the left, you know, because there's nothing more for me to try, and I will go and I will surrender to a power greater than myself. I just didn't want to die. And I was ready. I was ready. I don't know if I would have been ready, you know, a month before, 6 months before, or a year ago. And I was ready and willing. I needed to suffer more. I needed to suffer more. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning. And yes, abstinence was number one at the beginning, you know, but I needed to ask my higher power to help me with my abstinence. I couldn't do it by myself, by my own willpower. And then I started trusting God gradually in other areas. And, of course, the program and the steps. You know, I've learned so much from every one of you and that had gone before me, those 100 men and women that talks in the big book. What did they do? And I was ready and willing to do whatever they took or whatever my sponsor was doing. I did not want to die. And that was the beginning. And God gave me the power, the strength to go through the rest of the steps, not with just step 1, 2, and 3, with the rest of the steps. And I did come for the vanity. I said, I'm going to just lose the weight and I'm going to leave. And I thank God I stayed, you know, all these years, almost half of my lifetime, 40 years I've been in the program. I continued. There was no graduation with the steps. The minute when I'm done with the 12 steps, I go right back again. And I love the vision for you. I've been here since it started. Maybe there was like 159 people when I came. And now it's like 300 over that we have the meeting with. And we have thousands and thousands, like over 14,000 people that have come to the program, belong in the program. It's a miracle this program works. If it works for me, it will work for anybody, because I never, never thought in my lifetime I would ever I'll give up the sugars or whatever. So thank you anyways, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. And next up we have Jennifer C. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning, Jen. So good to hear you always. Good morning, everybody. So grateful for all your shares. We are so blessed. Doesn't God take the worst of the things and somehow use it in our lives to make us grateful for it? Like, how is that possible? So this paragraph, one of the things that helped me get recovered was when God said, all right, how about you slow down and you start looking these words up? And I said, what am I, in kindergarten? And God said, yeah, if you want to look at it like that, but I want you looking up synonyms and antonyms too. And that's what I did. And it helped me really understand what these paragraphs are teaching me. Because Bill was brilliant. And he chose words very carefully when he wrote this book. And so, what is a self-imposed crisis? First of all, self-imposed, I'm doing it to myself. So wait, that means it's not God's fault? That means I can't blame all my problems on God anymore? Is that what that means? Yeah, that's a good place to start. Self-imposed crisis. It's an emergency. Crisis means it's an emergency. You don't have time to play around. And it's also unstable. The definition of crisis is difficult or unstable situation, emergency. It's a turning point. It's a pivotal moment. Postpone means to delay or to put off, to reschedule. I'm going to start on Monday. I'm going to start on the next holiday. I'm going to start on my birthday. I'm going to start when it's the first of the month, because next month I'll have power that I don't have right now. I'm going to start after I shove this jar of peanut butter down my throat and I think I'm going to die, because that's going to motivate me tomorrow to get serious about this, right? Tells me I can't keep doing that if I want what this book is promising me. Evade means to avoid or bypass, right? So anyone that says, hey, guess what? You can bypass this paragraph. God doesn't have to be one of these two things, and you can still get all the promises in this book, but you can bypass this paragraph. Anyone's message that demonstrates that isn't the message in this book. It's not the recovery I want. I throw it in the trash. I keep moving. Proposition is a plan. Hey, here's the plan. And fearlessly means with courage, despite contrary feelings, which reminds me of the serenity prayer, right? Which they tell me, keep praying that. So There's more that I can say on this one beautiful paragraph, but I will close with, God is either everything or nothing. What's my choice going to be? And he's also good. And he's also all the qualities in a perfect parent that I could need. That's what this book is telling me. Can I surrender? Not just to the air, not just to the word, but to a God who loves me, has my back, and wants this recovery for me more than I want it for myself. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Jennifer C. All right, so we have a couple more minutes for anybody who wants to speak in at the end and share. Page 53, second paragraph.
Sorry, Lynn S.
And Sally A. and Lynn S. Sorry, that's all we have time for. Please stay around for the second unrecorded hour. Sally A., go right ahead.
Thank you so much. It's Sally A. First, let me apologize to the group. And I covet your prayers. I've been in a whirlwind, and God is so good to me. I'm abstinent, and it's just been really wild. This summer, everyone in my family is moving, and we've all been taking care of each other. And I am just so sorry. I am supposed to be the reader or on the team this morning, and just let me say I'm so sorry, you guys, for sleeping through my alarm this morning. So I don't want to waste any time here. This is such a great paragraph. I think it really is a pillar for the entire book. And when we became alcoholics, the point I knew I can't stop, I can't control this disorder that's going on in my mind, that's when I became an alcoholic, when I finally knew. Crushed by a self-imposed crisis, my binging led me to crisis. Not because I'm a bad person, this self-imposed crisis, but that I have an emotional eating disorder that has led me to this point where I am aware that I have a big problem, that I'm killing myself and I can't stop. Couldn't postpone the crisis. I couldn't deny. I couldn't make excuses anymore. In the areas of my life where my eating disorder created a crisis. And so I couldn't call this any longer something that I could control. And the proposition, the question that the chapter is asking, God is or isn't. And I just want to say on the bottom of page, on the bottom of page 25, we see the same question is being asked. It's a powerful question. We had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could by binging. On the other door number two, is to accept spiritual help. And that's what's being offered to us here in this very, very important sentence. God either is everything or God is not. That's the choice. We have a choice to make here, and we have nothing to lose by making a choice to say, okay, I'm open-minded. I'm humble enough to say, if you're there, tell me. I'm humble enough because my God is a gentleman and doesn't rush at anyone. But I believe that my God is knocking at the heart of all of us, and that we only have to, thank you, and we only have to say, yes, show me that you're there. And I just want to end by saying there's a very precious text in the Bible that speaks volumes to me about addiction. There is a way that seems right to man. In the end, it leads to death. That's me. I used to go by how I feel, and now I kneel. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Sally A. Up next, we have Lynn S. Thank you, Lynn, for taking us out. Yeah, have about a minute. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And I am facing this proposition right now this morning. My day has started all backwards. And I get to choose right here, right now, that either God is everything, not God is, you know, but that God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? After 36 years, the first 36 years of my life, not having any choice at all on whether I was going to stuff myself or starve myself and not relating to the world right or anything, right here, right now, I have a choice, and it's my choice. And I can choose to have God be absolutely everything in my life or nothing. And I'm going to choose everything in my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lynette, for taking us out. And thank you to everybody who shared on the meeting today. Thank you to all who showed up and listened and participated. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour study immediately following the closing, where the rest of you will be able to voice your experience, strength, and hope as well. Here's the share ID for today, pen and paper. You don't want to miss it. Pass it along. It's Tuesday, July 22nd. Or sorry, that's not right. Today is not Tuesday. Oh, Wednesday, July 22nd. Let's try that. The 7 a.m. Eastern Standard recording meeting for today is 23,656. That's 2365. Oh, boy. Here we go. 23656. All right, so we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll follow that up by the Serenity Prayer. So will Tamara C. please read A Vision for You? Go right ahead.
Okay, Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
I will now ask